Syria's war claimed three relatives of the woman we'll meet next. Amina Salwan learned last year that her brother, his wife, and their child had been killed. And that devastating news was only a fraction of the tragedy that Amina Salwan experienced. She is 23 years old and was living in a Damascus suburb last year when it suffered a chemical attack. She has been describing her experience to American audiences under the sponsorship of the National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces. At the time of the attack in August, she was supporting the rebels, working with kids traumatized by urban combat.
That day I was awake late, about 2 a.m. I was trying to prepare activities for the kids. We had three centers to support the kids psychologically and to teach them some letters, some mathematics under the siege in some basements.
These are children living in a war zone. Their parents might be alive or dead. Their schools are probably closed.
Yeah, so we were trying to help. The kids, they're hungry all the day, and maybe we can sing and let the kids forget they are hungry.
So that's how you were spending your days. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, August 21st, you were getting ready for the next day.
And I started getting news from my friends. And they told me that they had the Eastern Ghouta with chemical massacres. It was really awful. About 5:30 a.m., my friend told me that Modamia also was hit by the chemical weapon. And
Your own neighborhood.
Yeah, and I was shocked. And then I went out and I felt dizzy, and I didn't know if this is because of the lack of food, malnutrition, or because of the gas. Then I went and woke up everybody in my family. We rushed to the field hospital with my cousin.
This is the hospital that had been set up by the rebel forces.
Yeah, it's a really small one. It's a basement. We had only four doctors. Two of them are dentists.
Why did you go to the field hospital?
Because I volunteered for a while in the field hospital. Whenever something happened, whenever we had very severe shelling, I rushed to the field hospital and see what's going on, if they need some help.
Did injured people begin to arrive? Sick people begin to arrive?
That day we witnessed the most awful shelling and bombing from the beginning of the revolution.
Oh, because they had done, it appeared, a chemical attack the night before.
Yeah, and they thought the people
Now they wanted to follow up.
Yeah, and they thought the people are dizzy now and they are busy with the injured and the dead people inside. It's our chance. The way to the field hospital usually took me 5 minutes. That day took me about 20 minutes or more, because me and my cousin trying to hide next to the walls from the shrapnels.
So you were waiting for the safe moment, if there even was one, to cross the next street and get over there.
Then when we arrived to the field hospital, we saw the dead and injured people in the street. The situation was crazy. People were shouting, women were crying. Kids were suffocating and rushing, you know. And they were having spasm. Then we went inside and I asked Doctor, what we are supposed to do? And he said, snap some blankets and use the pieces of them and put vinegar on the noses of the injured people and try to make CPR to help them breathe.
People were having spasms. They're on the floor. There's really nothing you can do for them. But he's saying vinegar on a bit of cloth and CPR might help them in some way.
Yeah, and wash their faces and bodies with water. And we started doing this for them, and they were continuing their spasm and suffocating, and they said it was just heartbreaking. Watching them dying, especially kids, and we can do nothing about it.
That's what's coming through to me, is that the doctor was telling you to do things just to do something because it was actually hopeless. There was nothing you could do.
Yeah. Then a woman came and told me, come with me, I want to show you something. And and she was not crying like the others, and she said, "You see, this is my son, and this is my daughter, this is my mom, this is my brother. They were dead, all dead." I was like, I didn't know what I'm supposed to tell her.
She was very calm about
yeah,
all of this.
Yeah,
maybe in shock herself.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why you were not affected by the gas?
The gas didn't come to my area because the air took the gas to the opposite direction.
It was just a matter of the wind.
Yeah.
If the wind had been blowing a different direction, you'd
yeah,
be dead.
Yeah, and that why I survived, me and my family. And most of the people that day, 82 people were killed in my area. And we had about 400 injured people.
I know there's a lot more to your story. I'm not going to make you recount it all. But let's just note that after this attack, you made your way out of Syria. I imagine you can't go back now.
No, I can't.
Now that you're out of Syria, and you've been traveling the United States talking to audiences, do you feel the United States has been helpful to your country or to your cause?
No, they can do a lot of things, but they are not doing.
If you had an opportunity to get on Skype, or however you could communicate with your friends who are still back home, and they said to you, there you are, you're in America, you've been talking with hundreds, if not thousands, of people in different cities. What are Americans saying? What are they thinking about us? How would you answer that question to your friends back in Syria?
It's really hard, because the people inside think that everybody knows what's going on, and they're not moving. But I know what I figure out here, that yeah, the governments know everything, but the people of America doesn't know.
The people don't,
yeah,
by and large, know how bad it is.
Yeah.
Do you think if everyone knew, that the U.S. policy would be different?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amina, thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
Syrian chemical attack survivor Amina Selwan.